Hello, beautiful human, and welcome back to the Sunshine Codes podcast, where we know that we're here on planet Earth to meet the sun, co-create joy, and make waves. I'm your host, Ashley Sunshine, and welcome back to the show. I'm really excited for today's episode about meditation and rewiring the brain to manifest, to create miracles with our life, to heal from our childhood, from our past generations, from our ancestry, from our past lives, so that we can set forth a momentum into the future, because we are the generation that is healing for the future generations, right? We are the ancestors of our children who are healing this addiction to suffering that we have as a humanity, and stepping out of that and into the bliss that is our birthright of what we would want to create while we're here on this earth. And meditation has been a huge tool for me to be able to choose the life that I want to live on this earth. And I still work with it every single day, and my practice grows every single day, because it really is a lifelong practice. So before I dive into all the geeky and fun historical and modern and futuristic stuff about meditation, I want to introduce today's featured artist, who is actually a neighbor and a brother of mine, lives right around the corner. His name is Dor Frederick, and he is a pianist, and he incorporates other sounds into his music, such as percussion and stringed instruments and vocals. He's a producer for other musicians to help bring their music out to the world. And most especially, he's known for his visual art. So he's a creative process guy who helps others to go into their own creative process. And he does body painting and painting art. He paints on just about everything. He has a business called Art It Now. And it's just like, make that art, make that art, make that art. And I love it so much. He has also an amazing Instagram channel that really showcases his creative process. And he also has a sketchbook that he's created that is up for sale now. And he's really handcrafted every single page to be inspiring and motivational for your creative endeavors. So check him out in the show notes and stay tuned till the end for his track from one of his albums that has been released on Spotify. So without further ado, let's get into the art, science, and pathway process of meditation and its role in helping us to rewire our brain for healing of our generation. It's huge and it's awesome. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the history of meditation and what I know about the history of it, and the practices that we've been introduced to, and I'll talk about my own experience. And then we'll go into those teachings about using meditation as a manifestation tool, as a tool that if we use it regularly, it can and will change our lives for the better. So the earliest records of meditation are from around 6000 BC, and this is in India and China. So it was the Taoists and the Buddhists from India and China that we think, you know, were the first written or the first evidence of meditation. And mostly these were carvings in caves and rocks of like little figures that were meditating. Right. So this is the information we get from those regions of the world from that time. However, I believe that this practice has been around for much longer than that, and that these are only the symbols that we can recognize today that show us that. And I don't know if you know this, but BCE stands for Before Common Era. I don't think I actually knew that. So I'm really happy that I finally know what that means. I thought it meant like before Christ or something, but it actually means before Common Era. So there you go. Meditation comes from the word meditatum, which is Latin for meaning to ponder. Okay, so it's this idea of contemplation, of asking ourselves those bigger questions, of pondering our very existence, or pondering different questions that we might have about specific scenarios that we've been dealing with in our life. And I love that because it leads us to this place of like to ponder means that the answers or the solutions or the information is actually accessible to us in any given moment. So the act of meditation is to ponder or to contemplate, which automatically assumes that when we ponder something, we can get somewhere. And I love that because it shows that we are the living oracle. We have all the knowledge and the wisdom about the world inside of us, within us and around us, that is available to our awareness if we quiet the mind enough. And yoga teaches this, that the power of focus is so important. It's crucial. And there are powers that be around us that benefit from us being distracted. But our goal in this lifetime on planet Earth, if we are spiritual beings, if we are committed to a life of well-being and goodness, is to harness our focus as much as possible. Because it's with our focus comes our power. It's with the quality of our presence comes our true worth and value in any given moment. Our ability to respond, to react, to act based on what is needed from us in that given moment depends on the quality of our presence. Yoga teaches us that we can look at anything, and if we have a clean enough and clear focus, then we can understand anything about that thing. If we look at it and focus on it for long enough, all of its secrets will be revealed to us. Yoga says this about us. So for example, if I look at a tree and I contemplate the tree, I can actually receive all the information about this tree. I can know what kind of tree it is. I can know how old it is. I can know, you know, how the seed got there. I can see the whole germination process and the growing of the tree and even the people who have been around it already and all that stuff. This is what yoga teaches us is possible. That information is actually there. That all the information about the whole macrocosm is in any given microcosm. So we are these living, breathing oracles that have all the information. We are microcosms of the macro. So we practice meditation in order to harness our focus, in order to harness our life force energy, in order to quiet the mind. And this is actually the definition of yoga. Yoga is the practice of quieting the mind. It's not even the practice. Yoga is the quieting of the mind in order to calm the fluctuations of the mind. That's all it is. That's all yoga is quieting the fluctuations of the mind. And if you can understand that, then you can understand all of yoga. Because when we are quieted the mind, we can perceive ourselves truly. We can perceive truly what is going on. And truly what is going on is not limited to this one moment in time space, right? What is going on is actually much bigger than that. And time is an illusion and space is an illusion, right? Based on the human senses. So it's interesting that, you know, what we consider to be meditation is the definition of yoga. And yoga does talk about meditation. And yoga says that meditation is a state of being that is beyond the mind. It's when we're able to quiet the mind, we get into this new state of being, this level of consciousness that is beyond the temporary illusion of this world. That's beyond the fluctuations of right and wrong, good and bad, up and down, in and out. It's none of that. It's this pure awareness. It's when the knower and it's when the knower and the knowledge become one. It's when we're truly and purely immersed into this present moment so much that we lose all sense of time. we lose all sense of separation, and we come into this state of love and unity. And that's another, you know, definition of yoga, is unite, or to yoke what truly is into this moment, to bring out the truth. So meditation brings out the truth. It really does. And the more we do it, the less in the lie we can be. It's beautiful. Like, the more we meditate, the more we peel off those layers of the masks and the mind stuff that holds us back from being our true, authentic self. And it's not only yoga that has meditation, right? Like I mentioned before, there was a Buddhist and a Taoism, and every major religion has a form of meditation. It could look like prayer in more of the Christianity or the Judaism. It can look more like pranams, which they do in the Muslim tradition, where a few times a day they'll get on their knees and bow. It could look like singing or chanting in different religions. And really, it's this portal, this like path to get to that deeper state of awareness, to commune with God, to commune with the Creator, with the source of all things, to let go for a moment of our human ego and our human agenda so that we can connect to the bigger wisdom that is out there or within, really. And that's kind of the problem with a lot of religions, I think, is that we think that the wisdom is out there and we need to bow to some God that's outside of us. And yoga teaches us that actually the God is within us. And this is what more of the New Age meditations are teaching and understanding. And I think that before the patriarchal like revolution, that this is also what the ancient religions and spiritualities would teach. That the God is in each one of us, that each one of us is a sovereign being that gets to decide for ourselves what is best for us. Each one of us has an infinite channel to wisdom and creativity. And through the practice of meditation, we have access to it and we can bring out those wisdoms to the world around us. So in Buddhism, like the very first meditation that you'll learn in Buddhism is simply counting the breath. So you're going to do a meditation for 20 minutes, put a clock on, or it could be, you know, in the beginning, maybe it's more like 5 minutes, and you just count till 10 and then start again. And anytime your mind loses track of the counting because it's wandered off, you consciously notice where your mind has wandered off to so that you get to know the mind, you get to know which neuro pathways are active in your mind. This is self-reflection, right? Self-study. And then you don't keep holding on to it and let it take you down that train, but you bring yourself back to the breath and start again at one. So inhale one, exhale one. Inhale two, exhale two. And you keep going until 10. You do that for 5 minutes straight. And in the beginning, when you practice this, this is like basic meditation 101. It's just simply counting the breath, right? The first thing you learn in Buddhism. Not that I studied Buddhism or anything, but I did do my research and study meditation for many years, and this is what I've learned. And every time you meditate, you get a little better at it. So it takes you, you know, less tries to get all the way to 10. Or you can get all the way to 10, and the next time you can try in rounds of 20. And then next time you try in rounds of 30, to get all the way to 30 breaths without losing track of how many breaths you already took. And this is how we train the mind to focus. That we, even though it's quite boring, you know, just to inhale, exhale, that we don't allow the neural pathways to diverge from that focus of inhale, exhale, and especially in today's age when there's so much distraction and there's so many forces pulling on our attention, because our attention is actually our biggest currency. Our attention is really where our value lies. It's difficult for all of us to do that, to get to 30 breaths without losing track of your breath. Like, it might sound really easy. And for those of us that are meditating for 20 minutes to an hour every day, okay, it might be easy because we've passed that initiation. But as we're beginning, or as we're getting back into our practice, going to 30 breaths can be very challenging. So this is a good challenge to do with yourself. You know, maybe try every day to get to 10. And then once you get to 10 without losing track, you go to 20, and then you go to 30. And you're harnessing your ability to focus, which makes you more able to create the life of your dreams, right? It makes you more able to create those things that you want to create, to learn the things that you want to learn, to stay focused on what it is that you want to build and grow in your life. So the seventh limb of yoga, as we said, so there's eight limbs of yoga. The seventh limb of yoga is dhyana. And the eight limbs of yoga are kind of this like pathway. It's a step-by-step process to achieving the state of yoga, or samadhi, the final limb of yoga, the final stage of bliss. So step seven, which is just before the final stage of yoga, is the place where you actually can't practice being. You get there spontaneously. You get there by not trying. You know, you have to try, prepare, and then let go, so you can achieve this state of meditation, which is where the object and the knower become one. The seer and the what is being perceived become one. It's like you don't tell the difference anymore between you and the thing you're looking at. You just become that thing. And then you become that thing, and you're there for a while just feeling that thing, and then boom, the gates open and you become one with all. Now, yoga says that dhyana, the seventh limb, is meditation, but that we can't practice it on purpose. It has to spontaneously happen. So how do we get there? Well, we follow the other six limbs of yoga that lead us to there, which is really fascinating. And if you are interested in the path of yoga, I highly recommend diving into those eight limbs of yoga, and I will be going into them more in this podcast. I also teach this in my teacher trainings in my yoga mystery school. So look into that stuff, because it's so beautiful to start to clear the mind, clear our energy fields, so that we can relax in the oneness that truly is behind the veil, behind the illusion. So this step-by-step process is a process of calming the nervous system, of letting go of agitation, anxiety, anything that's holding us back from relaxing into the deeper parts of ourselves. And what happens when we do that is that we activate the alpha brain waves. We activate this deeper state of awareness that is more relaxed, that is more calm, cool, and collected. And it's a way to explore your inner consciousness. So we are instructed by many sacred texts throughout history and herstory to not only be explorers of the external world, which is kind of natural to us. It's natural to want to see what's over that hill. It's natural to walk into a house and want to know what all the rooms are and what's going on in the backyard. We want to know what's under the sea and stuff. But we're instructed to take that same effort and energy and excitement and enthusiasm that we would use to explore the external world and use it to also explore the internal world. Because in there also exists vast knowledge and information and visions and dreams and all kinds of knowing and gnosis, and many, many things are going on in there. The average person will close their eyes and see kind of a chaotic soup of their past memories and hopes and dreams and discomforts and aspirations, and it's kind of foggy in there. But the meditator, the yogi, the one who has harnessed his focus and cleared his mind will be able to see visions and see colors and shapes and see knowings when they close their eyes. They become the embodiment of the living oracle. That when there's a threat or a problem at hand, they don't go into a chaotic panic or into all kinds of assumptions or defense mechanisms, but rather the meditator, the yogi, the calm, centered one will close his eyes and see the solution. We'll see the connection of all things and the rightness of whatever's going on. And in that acceptance of the rightness of whatever's going on, he can then act accordingly to bring about the qualities of love and peace to this world. The meditator becomes focused on embodying and bringing forth the qualities of heaven on earth to earth, right? The more you meditate, the harder it is to harness guilt and fear, because you can't really meditate peacefully if you're feeling really guilty. So if you earnestly and honestly meditate, then the meditation practice will help you to clear your guilt, you know, and your fears. Because the meditation will lead you to have that conversation with that person, or to apologize, or to go to that therapy session, or to, you know, do that thing that you've been meaning to do for ages and it's just eating away at you. And when you actually sit down and quiet down and you see that thing eating away at you and you feel the discomfort of it that you've been feeling for years or months or days or whatever it is, hours, there's this thing that happens if you sit there honestly and earnestly, where you get the wisdom to act. You get the inspiration, the motivation to take that action, because as you meditate, it's like you want to fiercely defend and protect your own inner peace. And it's not about being defensive or by shutting things away, but that you're protecting your own inner peace by taking those actions that you need to take and by making reckons with the things that need to be reckoned with. And it's really cool. It's a really beautiful process. If you have harmed another, or you have committed some sort of crime or some sort of thing, like, the meditation practice will help to clear it, will help for you to make amends. And it's also very difficult to practice meditation if you feel unsafe or afraid, right? If you're feeling unsafe in your surroundings and you want to meditate, then it will guide you. You'll be guided to create safety in your surroundings. You'll be guided to release yourself from your fears in whatever way you need to do that, whether it's just a mental thing and you need to switch a thought or a belief, or whether it's an actual physical thing that you need to set up, you know, more boundaries for yourself, or you need to set up a more safe space for yourself to be. So it's like kind of this byproduct of being devoted and dedicated to meditating, which is really cool. So you can see how the meditation practice starts to clean up your life and clear your energy field of gunk and clutter and junk that's weighing you down and taking, stealing, siphoning your life force energy. And that the process of coming into that inner stillness, inner peace, brings your life force energy back to you. You know, you've reclaimed what is rightfully yours, which is your own life force energy. And I love this image of imagining, you know, your heart as a magnet, as a bright golden magnet. And you are magnetizing all the parts of yourself back to yourself in this moment. So you can do that practice during the meditation. I love visualizations in my meditation practice. I love calling in different angels or guides or different energies or different colors or different like items, like a magnet, to help me really just have fun with these practices. So imagining this magnet, magnetizing all the parts of yourself back to you, any parts of you that are tied up in projects and people and conversations and things, and just saying, you know what, for now, I'm taking this back to this moment. My thoughts, my energy, my words, my actions are no longer tied up in that thing right now, and I trust that whatever I need to do, I will do it when I need to. Whatever needs to be done will get done when it needs to. Whatever I need, I will know when I need it so I can let go. I can let go. I can let go. I can let go. I can relax. I can come back to this present moment with more and more and more of my own self and my own energy. And that's what's so beautiful about this practice, is that the more we do it, the more we feel truly ourselves, the better we can make decisions for ourselves, to advocate for ourselves here on the planet in our scenarios, the more we can know who is ourself, right? What is that voice of our true self versus the voice of our parents or our school teachers or the voice of our boss or the voice of some power that be that tell us what we should be or what we should look like or what we should do or what we should think. And we start to take our power back to ourself so that we can make decisions for ourselves, so we can decide for ourselves what is right, that we can trust ourselves to know what is good and what is right and what is love. And we can choose that again and again and again and again. And my definition of what is good and what is right and what is love might be slightly different from yours. So it's not my job to manage your thoughts. It's not my job to tell you what your moral and ethical compass is. It's your job to do that for yourself. And that happens through the practice of quieting down the mind, of coming and landing into the heart, of being, just being with yourself, just being as a human being. So I hope you're feeling motivated and inspired to explore your inner realm of consciousness and to get to know yourself a little bit more and to begin or continue to deepen your journey into harnessing your focus and quieting the mind. And I'm going to talk a little bit now about meditation and habits and identity and how to use your meditation practice as a manifestation practice. So two people that I really recommend are Joe Dispenza, Dr. Joe Dispenza. He has like revolutionary teachings on meditation and manifestation. And then I really love James Clear. He has a book called Atomic Habits. And it's a book that will support you in creating a habit out of meditation, into making meditation one of your habits or whatever it is. And before I dive into that, I want to talk about that actually, because maybe sitting still and breathing isn't your thing. And a lot of people tell me that, and I like to challenge that because, of course, it's not your thing. It's not a natural thing. It's not like a natural thing from our society and culture to like sit still and breathe and close your eyes. But it is so beneficial for us to do that. So let that like definition of it's not my thing, you know, let that like loosen up a little bit. You know, like you don't need to continue to identifying with what you previously thought your thing is. And we can always try new things. And it might be very challenging for you because you have ADHD or because you're, you know, have a lot of traumas from your childhood, which we all do, right? But some of us have more extreme than others. So it's a bit harder for us to sit still. So it's also a calling, like if it's difficult for you, to get that support from a trusted therapist, guide, teacher, leader, to hold space for you so that you can start to believe that you can do it, that you can start to believe that meditation is good for you and that it's a part of your process of self-healing, of wholeness with you and yourself. Because if somebody says, you know, meditation's not my thing, you're missing out on a huge, easy, and free tool that can take 5 minutes a day in the beginning. You know, and a lot of people say, oh, I don't have time. You have 5 minutes. You know, we all have 5 minutes. And that's a whole nother conversation about having time versus priorities, you know, because we can make time and we all make time for whatever's important for us. We all have 5 minutes to scroll on Facebook, but we don't have 5 minutes to meditate, you know? And this is about priorities and about our beliefs. So that's for another podcast. And another podcast I will talk about limiting beliefs and then finding your new and true beliefs. But for now, we will talk about creating meditation as a habit. And meditation is really about getting yourself into the flow state. So if you have other things that you do that get you into the flow state, such as painting, such as writing, such as going for a nice slow walk in the nature, you know, without your phone, without your podcasts, you know, and anything you do that gets you into that flow state, this is going to have similar benefits of meditation. Flow state being that you are actually entered into the alpha brainwave state. You've gone out of beta and you've gone into alpha. And this happens, and you can know that this happens when all of a sudden the world feels a little bit lighter, or all of a sudden you lose track of time and you're just kind of immersed in the moment for a second. It can feel like elation or like an elevated emotion. It can feel like a flow, you know, just like something's flowing through you and you're just riding that wave. Okay. So this is these are other options. There's many, many options of ways you can get the same benefits from your actions as you would do with meditation. Okay. So, but now I'm going to speak about a deeper process of meditation, which is there to help rewire your brain, which a lot of this comes from Dr. Joe Dispenza, and especially his book, Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself, which I highly recommend that book. It is a bit dense. There's a lot of information in it. So if it's hard for you to read that kind of like scientific information, then hopefully I'll be able to give you some insight in this podcast, and you can read about it and make cliff notes and things like that. And go to some meditation workshops or go to his retreats or his workshops. Okay, so your brainwaves are usually in the waking state in the beta brainwaves. This is the highest frequency brainwaves except for the gamma, but the gamma is like very, very, very high functioning, like depth in awareness. So that's something we talk about like later, but not in this episode. But in your waking state, you're in this beta brainwave state. So you're thinking, you're walking, you're like having regular conversations with people, you're pouring yourself a cup of water, you're making yourself a cup of coffee. Coffee is also bringing forth the beta brainwaves and can bring a higher beta brainwave. And the highest beta brainwave is stress. You know, this is like ultra focus, like something is calling your attention. It's signaling your brain that something's going on. It's helping the brain release adrenaline and cortisol, which is your fight or flight hormones, and puts all of your attention on the thing that needs to be altered in this moment or the thing that needs to be dealt with. Okay, so this is high beta. We have high beta so that we can deal with threats, but actually most of us are in high beta too much because of perceived threats around us. And if we feel anxious or we feel like we have anxiety, this is the brain waves being in that high beta state. So bringing yourself down to the lower beta brain waves is to calm the fluctuations of the mind, to start to lower that frequency, to calm the body down. So then when we meditate, we want to systematically bring ourselves even deeper into the brainwaves, into the alpha brainwaves. So this is a lower frequency brainwave than the beta. And this is that state where we begin to feel the flow state. We begin to feel the lightness of being. We begin to feel the unity within, the oneness of our energy field. We can feel our whole body breathing, you know, as one. We feel fully immersed in the moment, not as a way of hyper-focus and problem-solving, but in a way of letting go and expansion and allowing. This can happen automatically during intimacy or sexual experiences. This can happen automatically when we're on a walk in a beautiful place in nature, or when we're painting or writing or riding a bike, or we're driving a car. So when you're meditating, you want to be able to systematically get yourself into this alpha brainwave state. And from there, the longer we meditate, the deeper we can go. And we can go deeper into the delta brainwave state. And this is the realm of the subconscious. This is also the dream state and sleeping. So when you're in the beta brain and your mind is in analytical mode and your thoughts are wandering, there are different methods that you can use to help bring the mind into the alpha brain. One of those methods that works almost every time is a body scan. And this is where we take our conscious mind around the body and analyze each different part of the body. How is that part of the body feeling? And how can I relax it and soften it? Becoming aware of the top of your head, becoming aware of the tip of your nose, becoming aware of the tip of your chin. How does it feel? Can you soften it? Can you relax your eyes? Can you soften your temples? Can you feel your ears soften? The back of your neck, shoulders. You can go through the whole body like this, slowly, slowly taking a breath for each body part. And normally, when we're doing it honestly and earnestly with full attention, once we get to the feet and toes, we start to enter into the alpha brainwave state. And from there, we can feel the whole body as one unified field, as one united being, breathing as one, heart beating as one, pulsing with energy as one. And we can hang out in that space for a few moments. We can hang out in this oneness. And the world feels a little lighter, and we feel a little more free, and we feel more relaxed, and we have good hormones starting to flood our blood. Our body starts to go into more homeostasis. We get more brain-heart coherence. Our thoughts and feelings start to unite. Less of our energy is being spilt in different directions, and more of it's just being a part of this loop of our existence. This like spiral of being becomes obvious to us, and it's really enjoyable to be in that state. For me, my body feels lighter. You know, I feel a bit more optimistic. I feel more expansive. I become more of a channel. And it's in those moments where we're in that alpha brainwave that we can actually channel, you know, information from our guides, from our angels, from our higher self. We can also start to reprogram the mind from this state. So when we get to that alpha brainwave state, we hang out there for a few minutes, and then we can ask ourselves, okay, what would I like to reprogram? What bad habits do I have? And it's more than even actions, but what bad habit feelings, what bad feeling habits do I have? Am I constantly feeling angry or frustrated? Am I constantly feeling bitter or intimidated? Am I constantly feeling hopeless or a victim? And it's in that state that we can look at that and start to take responsibility for our feelings. Look at the times of the day that we're feeling those ways. look at what patterns are we repeating over and over again so that our body is releasing those same chemicals of that same emotion over and over and over again. And we can look at it and take responsibility for it in that space where we're in the alpha brain. And when we're in the alpha brain, it's also a space of compassion. It's like we're a little bit less judgmental of ourselves. We're a little bit less finicky or like particular or opinionated. You know, we have this more neutral and loving presence that we can look at these habits neutral and say, yes, I'm ready to change these habits. What would I like instead? And asking ourselves what we would like instead brings those answers of like, I'd like to be more loving, or I'd like to be more hopeful, or I'd like to be more optimistic or helpful. I take responsibility for my emotions, and with that responsibility comes great freedom. Because you then, if you're responsible, then you get to choose. You get to decide what you replace it with. And as we practice this over and over and over again, we see real and lasting changes in our lives, hands down. If we do an earnest and honest practice, you are guaranteed to see changes in your life. And the changes could come from places you don't expect. Like, I was working for a while with my frustration, and I wanted to replace it with compassion and with calmness and like clarity and direct communication. Like, instead of being frustrated, I want to be able to ask specifically for what I need and want without shame, without guilt. And I was guided to do a cleanse. I was guided to release sugar, gluten, alcohol, tobacco, and weed from my diet and daily life. And it was very sudden. I wasn't expecting that kind of like solution. And it came through actually through a friend who was offering some sort of cleanse. And I was like, yeah, okay, I'll join. And then I felt like I got a message from God being like, you're joining this cleanse, you're doing this in your own way, and your own way is to release those five things from your daily life and go clean for 30 days. I ended up going clean for 3 months, and it was super easy because once I trained my consciousness to truly want to release my frustration and be able to see and imagine and feel what it's like to release that frustration through the meditation practice, through bringing myself to the alpha brainwaves, through imagining my life, what it would be like without that feeling, what feelings do I want to replace it with? My neurology already got used to that state of being more peaceful, of being more loving, of being more kind, of being less frustrated, that it became quite easy for me to actually just do that solution. To just quit. Cold turkey. I'm not saying that's the solution for others. We all need to wait for our own signs and synchronicities. We all need to do the work, put it in, ask for what we're wanting, and then wait for the guidance and the solution by earnestly continuing to show up to our meditation cushions to signal the brain that this is our normal life. That it's normal for us to not be frustrated. It's normal for us to be loving and compassionate and a clear communicator of our desires and needs. I recommend trying this technique. And if you would like a guided meditation that I created in the style of Joe Dispenza, then please write to me and I'll make sure to get you a link to that file for free. And also, I am now going to be uploading many more guided meditations to my YouTube channel. So feel free to follow me over at YouTube and check out my guided meditations. I'm beginning this process of sharing guided meditations as channelings from different angels and guides and ascended masters. And this week, I created an Isis meditation, the ancient Egyptian goddess. To give us a message, to help us get clear about what it is that, you know, we're wanting next. You know, I will be releasing all kinds of different meditations. If there's anything specific that you'd like, feel free to request it from me. I'm not promising anything, but feel free to request. And I do also create custom guided meditations. So we could have a one-on-one consult where we come up with, you know, what you're needing right now, and then I will create for you an high quality custom guided meditations with binaural beats in the background for your own personal journey. So let me know if that's something that might help you. And thank you for listening to today's podcast about meditation. And it's our beautiful journey and responsibility and honor to do this work and to release ourselves from these generational and ancestral patterns so that we can truly live a life of joy where we make waves and we enjoy our reality. So this track by Dor Fredrick is a deep and meditative journey. It's 7 minutes long, and you can treat it like a mini sound healing where you put on some headphones and give yourself the gift of that seven minutes to go deep. Music can be an incredible tool to assist in the meditative practice. The name of this track is Gong Dive. And while preparing for a sound bath performance, Dor came across a beautiful big gong, and it inspired him to sample it and add many layers of sound textures. And to him, the purpose of this track is to dive deep and feel the spacious vibrations of the gong. So check out Dor on all the links in the show notes, and especially his sketchbook. And for now, sit back, relax, and enjoy. See you soon. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Sunshine Codes podcast with Ashley Sunshine, where we know that we're here on planet Earth to meet the sun, co-create joy, and make waves. See you next time. Much love and many blessings.